Please forgive the audio in this. This was recorded live at the end of the event. Thanks for listening to Tractors Podcast.
All right, we're recording now. How'd you go, Sven? What do you think of the event?
I mean, steak.
Yeah, that's half the fun.
It was fun. We walked around and we shot some people.
Chef?
Yeah, that was good. Did some role-playing stuff and shot some people.
Wow. I'm getting so much good content here today.
Hey. It was definitely a lot of fun. It's a lot different to a lot of the other milestones that I've done. And it was kind of fun to role play a bit more rather than just shoot people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Tim?
We were happy. Braden and I mortared 5 GIs in one shot.
And they all called their hit.
And they all called it.
Wow.
I'm going to walk away happy on that.
And my brand new scorpion got a kill. First kill.
Brand new scorpion?
Yeah.
Where'd you get that from?
We've got them in stock. At Urban.
At Urban Job Ball. Hashtag not sponsored.
I'll let you guys kick off first, or you'll be kick off.
So, yeah. Is this your first mill sim?
It is, mate. Yeah. Second mill sim, yeah.
Yep.
Second one I went last year.
It was awesome. To here? Well.
To here.
Yep.
Enjoyed it. Yeah, it was great. I think the experience, all the layout, the combat, sort of zones and techniques that they have were really, really good. Yeah.
Yep. And you played as a GI?
GI.
Yeah.
Yeah, we were GI. I think maybe, I won't even consider going VC. I think.
I reckon they have more fun.
Yeah. I have to get the gear for it, but yeah.
Black pajamas and a rice burner, and we're good to go. Let's go over here. So, what do you think of this?
It was very good, mate. Yeah, I've been to a few actually now, and it was very well organised.
Yep.
Excellent food. Good to get up and have a good feed. So, but the gameplay was pretty good. It was good.
What is it about this event that's different?
I think they went into the role play a bit more, which was funny. Good how they did that, where they had certain missions and interpreters and stuff like that, and added a bit of a different angle on it. Yeah, it
was. So you want for the listeners at home, you want to explain the interpreter thing?
Oh, well, basically, you had to have an interpreter between the two teams, and only they could understand the Viet Cong.
Yep.
And, if you didn't have an interpreter, you were supposed to just speak gibberish that they couldn't understand. So that,
because did that add to the gameplay?
Yeah, I think so, yeah. It added a different sort of tangent to it. So, they'd be yelling at you and saying, do stuff, and you're yelling back, blah, blah, blah. it was funny. Yeah.
Cool. Steve?
Yeah. No, I think the overall event was very well organised. Rob definitely cared for all his players.
Yep.
It was,
and Dennis yelled at everyone.
That was good fun. Everyone got into the role, and it was good. It was just spot on, I think.
Yep.
A lot of ground to cover. Feel it today.
Yep.
I think especially the being on the GI side, all the teams gelled.
Yep.
We had radio communication going between Alpha and Bravo.
Yep.
And we all knew each other's movements, and we could coordinate our attacks.
Yep.
And we did
pretty
well.
What sort of radios were they?
Oh, I'm not sure.
Green military ones?
No, definitely not. not the Vietnam era, unfortunately.
Yep.
But, I mean, I don't think I could carry one of those bloody things around all day. Yeah. I feel sorry for the boys that did.
Yep.
We did last year, right?
Yeah, definitely. But, no, we had the modern radios,
yep,
unfortunately. But at least the communication was there.
Yep.
And we all knew what we were doing.
Yeah.
I think overall, all the players experienced it, and everyone sort of, followed everybody's guidelines, and there was no disagreements or anything like that. We just followed
orders. No huge hissy fits.
Everyone really was really, really good, eh? And, followed directions really well.
Yeah.
Some of the inexperienced players really responded to it.
Some of the kids got into it.
Yeah, and they were really good. They enjoyed themselves, and they really, really did look after. We did look after them, and they were responded to everything we said. So,
yep.
Overall, they were. It was a good day. Cool. Very good day.
Let's give Conrad a go. He's a bit of a veteran here. He's been to every milsim that ever happened.
It was a great game. Just the historic aspect made a little bit different than all the other ones.
Yep.
The field was awesome. Villages, fire bases, couple of places with trenches and checkpoints. Just added to everything. It was, they've done a lot of work here, and it shows, and it was really good.
So for those people at home that are a bit worried about, oh, I've got to buy all this specific gear for this one event, what would you say to them?
Suck it up and spend it.
If you're GI, yes, definitely. You can go VC, and yeah,
you
can go very cheap.
If you go GI, then you got to stick to more the historic stuff. And some guys just wore basically green, and look, some of the other people here gave them some webbing to wear.
Yep.
If you are worried about spending a lot, go VC. Everyone's got a pair of black pants and a black shirt and just a $5 rice paddy hat.
Yep.
And you don't have to really worry if you don't have an AK. It does add to it, but whatever blaster you've got's generally accepted.
Most people got an M4 or an
M16.
Yeah.
Took it off a dead deal.
So it's something for everyone, really. You don't need to spend much money.
Yep.
Just don't rock on up in multicam and you'll be fine.
All right, thanks, guys.
Cheers,
mate. Thanks, man.
So what did you think of the event, Jase?
Oh, it was pretty good.
Yep.
Yeah, Rob did a pretty excellent job at hosting the event. I had a pretty good day yesterday. And
yep.
Yep.
What is it about in-country that you like specifically that you don't get anywhere else?
Well, it's basically, it gives you a chance to play the Vietnam War and reenact the Vietnam War considerably. And I get to wear Tiger Stripe camouflage fatigues, which is considered the god-tier camouflage pattern. And basically, to all you multicam fanboys out there, yeah, basically, and the roadie rush out guys, I'm afraid you're not really cutting the mustard. Yeah, start getting yourself some tiger stripes.
Yep.
You start getting some good. And I do enjoy running around with the M16 in the bush as well. So yep, it's a really fun thing to do.
What about the gameplay itself? What do you think of that?
It's pretty intensive. It's really, it's pretty good. It's really good as well. So it's basically a bit of a change away from, say,
The average weekend game?
Yes, average weekend games, but I definitely need to start doing more average weekend games to get myself my skills up a little bit more to do the milsims a bit more, so yep, to get myself used to wearing that gear a bit more.
Have you got any advice for somebody who's never thought about coming out here, that's played a couple of weekend games? What would you say to them?
I would say to them, you should try it out. Look into it, you know, and try it out. You might like it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a very different setup from weekend skirmish games.
Yep.
A lot of it is very much you're camping out in the bush, you're basically learning it, you're basically out in the elements for the whole weekend, and it's something that's worth experiencing.
Yep.
And it's a bit of a change, and it's taking camping to the whole different level as well.
Yeah.
So it's better than just sitting in the bush, sitting around a fire, chatting all the time. It's just you're actually going out in there and you're actually fighting a game.
Yep.
You're not just sitting around doing nothing but scratching your balls.
Yep.
So, that's right, yep.
All right, cheers, man.
No problem, it's track.
Hi, guys. This is Dennis. Hi, Dennis.
Hi.
He's one of the people that's behind the scenes. What do you think of the event?
I found it very forthcoming and really emotive.
And you bring a few props to the party. What sort of stuff do you bring along?
I try to bring replica 50 cals and 30 cals, some barbed wire for people to fall in.
Yep.
Because I want people to immerse themselves in soldering.
Immerse themselves.
Yes. I want them to experience the anger and hate of full soldiering. Yeah. I would like to run an activity calling the Colonel Kurtz experience, but people may die in that one.
Yeah. All right, and we've got Doug. Hi, Doug.
Hey, how you doing?
Good. You were the Lieutenant Dan.
Yeah, I was Lieutenant Dan.
How did that
go? Yeah, it was pretty good. It's not the first time I've had to run a platoon. I've done it a few times in reenacting events, but it was really good. I try and get the guys to keep doing stuff, put them out on patrols. We had a traffic control point there. We had like all these villagers coming at us. It was very stressful and I didn't like it.
So if somebody had never played a milsim before and was coming, what advice would you give them?
Just come with an open mind and you don't require any experience in military stuff or cadets or anything like that. Especially like if I'm running the platoon, if you're a new fella, like I'll happily make sure that you're being looked after and that, you know, you're getting water and, you know, you're still getting into the action. So,
yep.
Yeah, as long as you have an open mind, you're ready to have fun, you'll have a good time.
All right. Rob.
Yeah.
This is the man, Rob. The Maxog B Uber Duber Super Trooper.
What do you want to know, Trav?
So people come to me and they say, we're worried about having to have the right gear for the event. You're the man that makes the decision. So what do you want to tell people about what gear to bring?
Look, I think people need to just, first of all, have a little bit of an open mind and just do a little bit of research and a little bit of an effort. You don't have to be super 100 duper percent accurate. I always do that for myself just to set the example. But just, like I said, open mind, try and have a go at it. You don't need to be super accurate. It's more about having fun. It is a LARP event, LARP heavy event, which is, you really need to have that open mind for. But it's fantastic. Heaps of guys get into the spirit, which is what we want.
Yep. So can you give us some budget examples of what people wore this weekend that you guys were happy with?
Yeah, look, Ray, who runs the NVA site, he actually got a cheap boiler suit for like $50 from eBay, I think it was. He dyed it khaki. Bunnings. What's that?
It was Bunnings.
Bunnings dyed it khaki, got himself a Chicom Tress rig, and that cost him like $40, and it was a pretty good standalone for a VC rig. Guys buy the cheap $20 NVA pith helmets. That costs next to nothing. If you want to do GI, it is going to be a little bit more expensive, but there is plenty of Rothko reproduction uniforms that cost maybe about $100, depending on where you shop.
Yep.
You can buy cheap load-bearing webbing from various places. You just got to hunt around.
And Jake Harvey always brings loaner
gear, doesn't he? We even have loaner. We do have a pool of loaner gear as well for those who want to give it a go and might not want to spend that money first. There is even some loaner uniforms we are pulling together now as well. So if you want to have a go and don't want to spend that money until you say, oh, this event's really good, we have that option there too, as long as you give us plenty of notice.
All right. Thanks, guys. Hey, mate. You were pretty active by the fire telling stories last night. How was your event?
Yeah, it was pretty fun besides stacking in every once in a while, but that's what's going to happen if you're out bush. It was really fun. Even then, I don't have any fancy gear or anything. I have my dad's foul. I'm just wearing all black.
Yep.
Always remember, bring an extra spare of clothes because you might overheat, so you want to get, you know, short pants and a normal t-shirt. Always have a camel pack or an extra water bowl with you, and you never have enough gels. Yeah.
So how much money did you spend on coming to the event in terms of your loadout and stuff?
Well, my loadout,
it's all borrowed.
All borrowed.
Yep.
But when it comes to coming into the event, because I helped Rob, Doug, Dennis, a lot of them, I got in for free.
Nice.
So if you just help them out with a few projects, they either give you a discount or pretty much come into free.
Yep. So it's not that expensive, is it?
No.
Yep. Cool. Bonge!
Aloha.
Bonge is always active by the fire telling war stories. Mm. So what is it about in-country that you like?
I like the RP-centric nature of it.
Being role-play?
Role-play.
Yep.
The ability to get into a character and really just... I always play VC because it allows me to really mess with people.
It also allows me to stab people as a civvy.
Yeah, it allows me to stab people as a civvy as well, but it allows you to really put questions into the GI's minds. What's this guy going to do? What's he here for? Is he really going to a karate lesson, or is he here to blow us all up?
Yeah. Am I within my rights to shoot this person, or are they a civilian and I'm going to get war crimed?
Yeah. Well, I regularly push the limits in what the GIs are asking me to do in order to provoke them to the limit of whether they can war crime me or not. I regularly get war crimed because I don't know what I'm doing. I reached into my pack for a pack of ciggies to try and barter with them, and they thought I was going for a weapon and they shot me.
Oh, bastards.
So that sort of stuff, you know, it's just a lot of fun.
Yeah, definitely won't win the hearts and minds that way, will they?
No, not at all.
Right, thanks, Bonge.
No worries.
So, Pappy.
Hello.
How you going?
I'm doing well.
So the drop bears still get out and play, it seems.
Occasionally.
So what is it about in country for you?
I love the dress up. I'm a man child at heart.
Yep.
And going back to my kid days and basically dressing up an army and playing army is just the bomb. And I guess I've got a vested interest, you know, having an uncle who served in Vietnam, and I love doing this shit. I send him photos and he loves it. And, getting out with the mates and I guess being with like-minded people.
Yep.
Who will want to do the same thing and have the same fun.
If there's somebody at home that's listening, that's worried about coming to the event, they're worried about spending money, doing a loadout, what advice have you got for them?
You don't need to.
Yep.
We have people here who have loaner gear. If you've got a set of greens, that's pretty much all you need. Just, I guess, contact Rob, get on the historical Facebook page. Just put a shout out and everyone's here to help. Everyone's, you know, lens gear, loans gear. We're all here to help. Like, I guess that's part of the fun is this is a good group
community
of people that,
yeah.
that get together and really help each other out. So, yeah, that's what I would say. Reach out and you'll find people that will offer you gear to borrow pretty quickly.
Speaking of which, here's Jake. Hey, Jake.
Hello.
This is the other Jake. This isn't Jake Dunks.
No, the more handsome one.
This is the more handsome and more robust one. So tell us about gear from your perspective.
Gear. Like finding gear or...
Yeah.
Gear, it's one of those things. You can find it, but you have to look for it to find the good period stuff. But specifically Vietnam gear, really that sort of stuff was used pretty late. You can get like Australian era,
right
Vietnam
up into
era.
The 90s.
Yeah, up until the 90s production dates. Like Jason's wearing they can't see.
Those pants.
Green pants. They are the exact same pattern that was used in Vietnam, but they're dated 1989.
Yep.
Slight difference in the color of the button. That's
Who
about
cares?
It. and the difference in price between those two items is huge.
Yep.
Yeah, you've got $30 pair of pants to, you know, an $80, $100 pair of pants, but they do the same job and look basically the same.
$15 AK chest rig.
Yeah, yep. AK rigs you can pick up very cheap. But once you get into the details of things, things can get a bit expensive, but really you shouldn't be using that expensive stuff for gel ball anyway.
Yep.
Repo does the job better. You rip a rare pair of repos, who cares? You rip a real pair. It's heartbreaking.
And what sort of gear have you got? You bring a lot of loaner gear. You really support the community that way. What sort of stuff can people expect to be able to borrow?
I've got five sets of Australian Vietnam-ish era webbing, which look about period correct, to loan out. I can put together more rigs if need be. I've got some Vietnam era pith helmets that I'll loan out. I've also got a box of some uniforms that I can loan out depending on sizes.
Yep.
But yeah, just that sort of stuff. Put the word out and people can borrow. Like last in the country, I think three guys ended up borrowing sets of webbing.
Yep. And you don't charge for that. You do it as a community thing.
So while I was working collecting gear, some of the stuff I just put aside and put together for guys to borrow if they just want to give it a crack. Because using the old webbing is very different to the new stuff. That's the stuff I like about it is all this stuff was designed for a reason. And when you actually get out and use it, you can sort of understand why things are the way they are.
Yeah.
Like comparing chest webbing, like chest rigs and plate carriers in the bush to webbing. It's very different, like the theories behind how they all work and what they were designed to do. So it's interesting to get out, put it through its paces and understand how it all works. And then you get a better understanding of what guys actually had to carry too.
So at the end of the day, you've got a real appreciation for what it was like to patrol, for example.
Yeah, you do get that, and you understand, like, why you get blisters on your hips from webbing that's not set up properly.
Yep.
it's a sort of a deeper understanding of how that sort of stuff works. And to make it very clear, I'm not a reenactor.
Yep.
I'm just a collector who likes to understand how this stuff works, and I like to share what I know with other people.
Cool. And I believe you've hand-built some blasters?
Yes. Yes. Where is it? Somewhere.
You've got a few. So there's some interesting stuff that people can't buy off the shelf that they can see it in country.
Yeah. Yeah. We've had M60s out here. I've had an Owen out here. We've got my M14 out here. There was a Maxim machine gun.
Yep.
Which I was built. That was bought out. Fortunately, it wasn't quite working.
Yep.
But still bought it out and they Bond set it up and it looked fantastic, and you just wouldn't see that at any other game. And even like the the ZB26s that you can buy.
They're close enough to a Bren.
They're close to a Bren, but the North Vietnamese used them. The Chinese used them. You'd never see them in a game. Mm. And we had a defense of a trench line where we had three, just other guys bought their ZBs out too, defending the trench with those things. It was fantastic. Everyone there changing mags, dumping the mags in the top and laying down, laying down some gel ball hate.
Yep.
Yeah, it was fantastic. You just wouldn't come across that at any other game.
Yep.
That sort of period sort of stuff. And when you look around in those trenches, you know, up against the corner, there's a big pile of, you know, RPG-2 rocket launchers and RPG-7 behind you.
Yep.
AKs all in the trench, period ammo boxes. Yeah, it was...
Really cops you in the feels.
Oh, and look, really wish I had a GoPro, but it would ruin the aesthetic to film that to show people. You need someone out there with one of the big guy shoulder-mounted cameras filming the whole thing.
I think we should 3D print one and put a GoPro on the front.
Yeah, that's not a bad idea.
All right, thanks, Jake.
No worries.